Brilliant. Right, I'm going to introduce this slightly differently, I think, today. It's okay. Beginning of December, it's a cold day, and I'm in the van, not surprisingly, in Wick's car park, just to be different, on a very cold winter's day. It's 3rd December, and I'm with Anger Cara. Mm-hmm. So, nice to meet you again.
Nice to meet you again. Pleasure to be here, Martin. It's Wick's car park. This is definitely a scenic place to be in.
Excuse me. There are better places in the world, but go on. Yeah. It was convenient. That's the whole point, isn't it? A mobile audio recording studio.
Yeah, it's like 2 minutes away from the studio. I just popped out from the back door, and here I am in a studio recording a podcast. Amazing.
Excellent. So, I'm just because we've met each other a couple of times now, or maybe two or three times. Mm. When you said you just popped around from the studio, where have you been?
What's so this is 108 The Moor, so it's the bottom of the moor, and this is where I'm based. This is I help set up Zach's social enterprise called Alfie, called Anywhere Anytime Learning for You. So this is using digital fabrication to help long-term unemployed to get back into work. So that started about 4 years ago. So my role was to help create the programs of what we take to places like Doncaster and Sheffield.
Oh, so you take these adult learning programs?
Yeah.
Out into the field, as it were.
Yeah. So we deliver a contract for Doncaster Council now for adult learning, and the idea is to get adults back into learning, but fun learning. So they essentially they learn how to use a software called CorelDRAW, and they learn how to use a laser cutter.
CorelDRAW.
Yeah. So it's like CAD software. And they, at the end of it, they have a product that's laser cut or laser engraved, and they test sell it basically in a local market and online.
Oh, I see. So it's a sort of
entrepreneurship.
A to Z type.
Yeah, it's entrepreneurship. So start with an idea, or no idea, or going, what the hell do I do? And at the end of it, oh my God, I've got this product. I know how much it costs. I know what the product's name. I know how much I want to sell it for, the profit margin, and what do I want to do to take it to market? Test market, really.
Right.
So the idea is to shift the mindset from, at first you were like, I'll never ever be able to learn this. Mm. At the end, actually, what else can I learn? Because I guess for me anyway, what I'm interested in is the idea of in the future world of work, there's an abundance of knowledge. There's abundance of data.
Right.
And that it's, as human beings, is about the ability to be able to learn. And how fast we can learn, because there's a lot of data out there.
Right. So is this relearning, or is this people coming first time into work, or is it a lifelong learning?
The majority of the target market is people that are long-term unemployed. It could be mothers that's been looking after the kids for a while. It could be somebody who's been going to a job centre in and out. Somebody who's interested in craft but don't know what to do with it. So the idea is to have this program and experience where they start, and then at finish they have this thing, whatever they sell they keep it,
right?
Or they can reinvest that back to make more products.
Okay. Mm. I'm going to throw this one in here. Mm-hmm. I almost fell off my seat when you said CorelDRAW, because I loaded my last time I used CorelDRAW on 5.25-inch floppy disks. Is that old? So is that? I mean, I didn't. Even I didn't know that it still exists. This CorelDRAW.
Yeah.
Does it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
So who took it over? Do you know who?
I have no idea.
No. Because the original CorelDRAW was a Canadian company. And not snap art.
So vector?
Vector-based images that clip art is the word I'm looking for, snap art. Clip art that people could use and quickly make it accessible. And it was vector-based drawing. And you learned how to draw graphics, and it was the biggest package out there. And then Avid and Adobe and so on came along and blitzed it. But I think it was bought by somebody like Adobe, and I'm surprised you can still buy CorelDRAW as a product.
Yeah, it's mainly targeted at engineering based companies.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So is it going in at the CAD markets?
Yeah, it's CAD. Yeah, it's pretty much. So we use it because it links directly to the laser cutter.
Yes.
So it's like a, yeah, it's a CAD software, and essentially it's treated like a printer or a CAM.
So, yes. Mm. So it's gone back to some, maybe a niche market rather than being open up, because it was more of a drawing package, hence CorelDRAW, I guess.
Yeah. we were lucky. We somehow was introduced to the European distributor about 3-4 years ago when we started. With the, we had an idea,
right?
And then we were like, okay, cool, we need a laser cutter and we need a software, and CorelDRAW was the recommended software. And then we had a contact at the IT department at Sheffield Uni, and they buy software from CorelDRAW. So I was like, cool, let me introduce you to the distributor and see what you can do. And we managed to get free software from them.
Oh, right. Now, is that the key to it? You're getting a nice, you get the free software that you support. So presumably you have to buy the laser cutters.
Yeah,
you?
Yeah.
So that's what you do at 108, the mall.
Yeah, yeah. So at the studio itself, we do training. We do we do training for contracts, for council, but also we do like workshops in terms of people that want to make custom chopping board, a custom coasters, a custom enamel mug, and the engrave on the on it.
So that's just linking in with the laser, and this laser can do 3D objects.
Yeah, it's etch. It can do round, etch on round objects or flat objects as well. And yeah, literally the idea is about 4 years ago, Zach came to me and went, oh, you've done loads of workshops in the past. Cause I used to run a clothing label, I used to run an agency, and I used to run like workshops in fashion and t-shirt printing. And then he was like, I wanna get you into to design some t-shirt printing workshops. I'm like, I'm bored of t-shirts.
Yes.
I want to play with lasers.
Yeah, yeah, right, okay.
And that's how it was born.
Burns holes in t-shirts, yes, okay, right. All right, so you literally kind of, you were looking for a change yourself then.
Yeah, I mean, like for me, it's I'm driven by intrigue.
Right.
And lasers was really fun. And before I started this project, I whilst I was running the label, I snuck into Hallam Uni and use, I hope nobody's listening from Hallam Uni.
Oh, there's plenty of people. Like
so I used to teach dancing, and I went with one of my students to the laser cutting room, and yeah, we made little wooden pendants for the label, and from that I was like, oh my god, this thing is so much fun, there's so much you can do with it.
Yeah.
And then
it sounds like enterprise in its true sense of the word. So you've gone fashion icon. You've gone to the idea of the dance, printing t-shirts, and now we're laser cutting. But anyway, I don't know. I'm sure you listen to TED talks and things like that. The first thing that came to mind, anyway, is that there are quite a few creative artists out there using laser cutting, or lasers, or robots. Or cobots, as they're calling it, where cooperative robots, where they work in tandem with people, so they kind of help you think about how you look at work in different ways. But rather than being robotic, it actually is a cooperative robot. And there, I was watching something about where they were drawing, trying to teach cobots to mimic the human action, so drawing action. But it turned out that the software and the algorithms is nigh on impossible to follow a random sort of creative human process. But as a result, you ended up with like a very different product, because you had this sort of animated, creative human element, and then this robotic thing which was trying to sort of copy. And the combination in itself was unique. And this created a subject, and it actually brought all sorts of things came out of it, you know, the psyche of people working with robots and where they're going to take us, and how AI and all these, you know, the algorithms, and people were actually writing algorithms, and how that, and just there was no end to the creativity, despite the fact that you had machines. So this idea of machine learning, so is that something that you would encouraging people, or rather just creating products? I don't know.
Yeah, for me, it's really, I guess it's thinking about, I guess, take it back to that idea of future world of work. You know, like we don't know what the future world of work could look like, or what would emerge. And there are jobs and opportunities that will emerge in the future. And the same way as like 10 years ago, 20 years ago, maybe there were podcasts. Yes, podcasts existed, but it's not as popular as it is today.
No.
So there'll be things like that in the future. And so the idea is equipping the participants with the belief and the mindset shift to go, actually, I can learn something new. And for me anyway, that's the magic. It's just that whether the tool is lasers, the tool is fashion, it's a mindset shift. This is my passion, really, is helping people to
reframe
their thinking.
I suppose it's getting people to explore. Mm-hmm. So the laser is just a sort of a tool in that sense, in a real sense of a tool.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's quite interesting then. So these have you got some good examples of people of their creativity or their successes that have resulted?
One of the ladies, she made like a checkers board. She used to make it by hand out of wool felt. So checkers on one side, two different colours wool felt, and then like a backgammon at the back, so it's a double sided. And and the idea was she lives in a camper van. She's a nomadic person, and she sells these things to in local markets. And used to take a half a day to make one.
Right.
Once she's digitized it, designed it, tested it, it reduced to like 30 minutes end to end from the start to finish.
In a fabric.
Yeah, because the wool felt with laser cut, and because before she used to cut it all by hand. Now everything was precise. It was laser cut, and she sews it all together or glues it together. And so the production time is reduced by, hell of a lot. Another chopping boards, like the chopping boards, has been really popular.
Right.
And people, it's a really entry level way of going in. So I feel like there's two avenues to explore that we've designed. So one is product development. So this is more around thinking of something new, putting stuff together, and this takes a lot longer because there's a lot of testing and iterations and design that you need to infuse it within it. And the other is product customization. So this is looking at existing products that exist already.
Yeah.
And what can we do to add value to it? So it's the same as like the analogy of a car, and you have different rims in your wheels.
Okay.
So it's like spinning rims, lighting rims.
Customizing existing ideas.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just intrigued. So how do you cut felt with a laser?
Like magic. No, it's you reduce the power because you play with power and speed.
Okay.
So it's all about testing and experimenting what works depending on the felt thickness and sometimes the color. You have to play with it. Like if it's a different color, you have to increase the speed. Something like that red, you have to make it a bit more power. I have no idea why, but this is.
So it's not only is it sort of an eye opener and sort of bringing people into a new realm. You're not necessarily know what the outcomes are.
Nope. It's a constant process of learning and testing. Like we use wood, and each piece of wood, it varies slightly different.
Different characteristics. The
density, and even if it's the same wood, the way it's pressed together or made, it's a lot of fun. But saying that, I have not done any lasers for the past year and a half.
so what have you moved on to then? What else do you get up to then?
So the idea for me with the social enterprise is my passion is to create something and a program. So I've past 4 years it's been I created it, tested it, iterated it, and now we've got a program that works. So it's a framework and Zach takes it to different places. So I feel like my role is done.
So Zach, I don't know Zach. Zach
is the founder of Alfie.
Oh right.
And he's the one that asked me when we first started to.
So that's the initial introduction. So the laser cutting that's come out of that.
Mm-hmm.
You've designed a work program.
Yeah.
For adults.
Mainly adults. Yeah.
And he goes out there and delivers that workshop.
Yep. Yeah.
So you don't do it yourself?
Nope.
Oh, right.
No.
Okay.
And then now Zach's got staff that delivers it for him. So it's been, the process is there. Now it's almost like replicating it to different places. And then now what he's doing is building like a website where people can customize it. It's working on getting investment and stuff like that.
Right.
So it's getting serious.
Oh, right.
Real serious.
is that the point where you move on?
Oh, I'm still here. I'm there as support. This is the way my role has always been support.
Okay.
And whenever he wants ideas or wants somebody to, bounce concepts and designs or whatever, I'm here, and in return I'm based here.
Yes.
Which is great.
See. So you got views. So you, I mean, because when I first met you, the first thing you did was disappear to Indonesia. And you said you'd be back in a month's time or something. So I'm guessing that's home, or is it?
Yeah, that's home.
It is home, home.
Yeah.
Right. So you're born in Indonesia.
Yeah.
Right. So I was right in Indonesia.
Yeah.
Not Malaya or Singapore or anywhere. No, okay.
Indonesia.
So, Indonesia. Which part?
In Java. Java.
Oh, right.
So my family lives in Bandung now, but my dad's family from, my mum's from Surabaya, and my dad's from Yogyakarta.
Right. This is going to show my ignorance, but there's Brunei at the top.
Yep. Go down and there's Malaysia.
Yep.
And then underneath that there's Indonesia.
Right. So the Indonesian bit, although the landmass is actually split up, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's a kingdom, Brunei, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's relatively small to the rest of Indonesia, I think.
Brunei is tiny.
Yes. Right. Okay. So how did that come about? I mean, I don't know. I mean, just. Do you know?
No, none at all. I have no idea of the history of
Brunei. is that asking me where did Scotland come from or something?
I'm simply unaware.
Right, okay. So, I mean, how often do you get back to Indonesia then?
Well, once a year, once every two years.
And you came here to seek your fortune or?
No, I came here back in 97 with my family when I was young.
Oh, the family came at me. Right, okay.
When I was 11 years old.
Right.
And then, my family, it was my dad was studying at Sheffield University. He was doing a PhD. And he did it in chemical engineering.
Right, so he from Indonesia as a student, he took up a PhD here in the UK.
Yeah, but the reason is they've always dreamed of taking the kids to the UK. So what's interesting is Indonesians don't really have to have second names.
Right.
So you can just pick one name.
Okay.
And there are no traditions of continuing the family names. People just pick names out of a book or they just make it up. So my parents, when we were born, they decided, okay, we're going to give them second names. So one, they can tell you who they are. And then second, they'll be all right when they're in England. So they have second names.
Right. Is that the only reason then? Because just to comply with UK sort of convention.
No, it's just interesting that Indonesians don't have to have second names. So one of my dad's friends called Iwan, Iwan, and that's his name.
Right.
So when he graduated from university, his PhD certificate, it says Iwan Iwan.
Iwan Iwan.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, there must be hundreds of Iwans then.
Yeah.
So how do you differentiate if you... Well, you don't. You just know them as Iwan.
Yeah, it's fine.
You just know them as an individual.
Yeah.
Right, excellent. Because your adopted family name, I'm going to guess now, is Kara.
Nope.
No, right, I've got that wrong then.
Well, Anger Kara is my first name.
Oh, it's all one name?
It's all one name, yeah. So the reason...
Is it?
Yeah, the reason I split it is it's because... When I was young, my full name is Angakara Narendra Deepa.
Right.
It's a hell of a mouthful.
Yeah.
So when I was young, I just decided to split my first name and second name to become my almost like online branding.
So took on the persona?
Yeah.
Another identity.
Yeah. And it's, for me, the reason why I did that was, one reason was it came from a place of a bit of shame, because when I was young, I used to get teased a lot by my friends. And then I couldn't speak English. And then on top of that, whenever I meet a new teacher, they're never able to say my name.
Right.
So I thought, wow, what can I do to make it easier for people? So they recognize me, they can say what it is.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, cool, I'll just separate my first name into two, so Angakara.
So you as an 11-year-old decided to do that?
This thought was when Facebook was started. Actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, whatever. Actually, teenager. Or
yeah, teenager. So
I'm trying to work it out.
I have no idea what age.
So young. Okay. Right. So, I mean, that's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, I've certainly it's not a convention thing, you know, you change your name. You know, it's only quite recently in the UK, actually, you can change your name for £35.
Mm-hmm.
You can go and just read it. But in the old days, it was a major piece of exercise to do that. But it does sound like you came out a bit of trauma that you had to change your name, you know, if you go into that extreme.
Yeah.
So did you feel that people didn't maybe recognise the depth of your trauma, for want of a better word, I guess? And so did it overnight change?
I've always been called Anger anyway.
Right.
As in, like, 'cause Angarkara, people shorten it to Anger.
Right.
So for me, it was a natural way of taking this forward into the persona of the digital realm. And then now, like, on my online profile, people write me on, like, it's easier to find my persona name, Angarkara.
Yeah.
There's more things that come up for that than it is for my full name.
Yes.
So it's interesting to...
So it really literally is a new identity,
yeah,
which you've brought into this digital world. Now, that's news. That's very different for me, my generation. I've had to learn that.
Mm.
You know, I've maybe not understood to a great extent. Why would you have an alter ego, for example, which is what I would call, rather than just be yourself? But it's not unusual. In fact, far from it, most people, I do have an online persona.
Yeah.
And you're literally taking that from real life
into digital, accidentally.
World. Yeah. Well, that's nice, isn't it? I mean, that's quite a nice idea. I like the idea. So I probably got it wrong then. So calling you Angarkara, I should call you Angarkara as one name rather than Angarkara. Excellent. Oh, right. Well, there you are. You learn something, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you're now that we're established who you are, or where you, who you are at the moment.
Yeah.
that was solving a problem.
Mm.
Kind of. That's the thread I'm catching on here.
Yep.
Is that you solve problems, you engage different ways of just approaching something.
Mm.
And that inspires you to do things. The printed T-shirts, so using lasers. Lasers to me was, I first saw a laser being used in public was this is going to age me, but the Genesis set of a gig in 1980-something, when they used the Lizard Jew figures.
Mm.
And that was it. You know, I mean, that was now 30 years on. The laser has its, you know, every thought process, you know, measuring how far the moon is away, for example, something like that. And, you know, these sorts of ideas. So what excites you about the modern technology, digital world, that now that you are a child of the child of the 20th century, or the 21st century, I should say?
This exponential rate of change really excites me. The world is shifting. The world is shifting faster than I can ever imagine it to be. Even I feel like I'm catching up. You know, there's always something new that is around the corner. Like AI and machine learning excites me. It's interesting how that develops, but at the same time holding the idea of ethics and the philosophy behind AI, because if AI are designed by people that are unaware, then the results could be detrimental, or it could be fatal. So it's almost like it's interesting, the idea of philosophy will emerge again, because the need for critical thinking and exploratory thinking in a very zero and one world would be very useful. So I was speaking to one of my clients, my work is executive coaching. One of my clients is from IBM and he's the AI lead for IBM. So one of the conversations we had was, imagine in the future there's a car, a self-driving car with one person inside it.
Mm-hmm.
And as it's driving down the road, there's three people on the road. And the car has to decide, there's an accident, who to kill.
Yeah.
Because it's either, if it swerves, it kills the passenger inside. If it continues, it kills the three people on the road.
Right. Yeah.
So how do we decide this dilemma of the car? Who decides that?
Right.
Or how do we program, or how do we design something that makes that decision?
Mm. So that's a fundamental question, isn't it? You know, a new philosophy. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's there is another intelligence. We should say that AI is artificial intelligence, yeah. I guess. You know, some people might, maybe it's used as, you know, people just off the cuff, and sometimes it doesn't, you know, not everybody is immerses. But it's interesting to hearing you saying that you are amazed, or even, you know, sort of by the speed of change. Mm-hmm. Now you can imagine as sort of somebody twice your age, you know, it'd completely blow their heads, you know, blow their minds. I should be more. But could they adopt the new philosophy and not undermine their own, you know, their own values or whatever it might be? You know, because the world is changing.
Mm.
So we get that, but there are is there a danger of throwing the baby out with the bathwater type thing? You know, there's lots of good things that have come in the past, and you know, but there are a number of other things that we could improve on, which I'm guessing these sort of technologies are going to bring forward, or thinking even. I've heard this analogy about the autonomous car thing, you know, which one does it decide to kill?
Yeah.
Do we leave life to chance? And they said, you know, in real life or whatever life, whatever it is, you know, it would just be an accident, and what happened wasn't prescriptive.
Mm.
You know, nobody could plan in that sense, you know, that decision. So is the artificial intelligence not intelligent? Or I'm going to love that one.
Yeah, I have no idea. This is where the interesting exploration in terms of, like, do we completely hand control power 100% to the car, you know, as the driver? Do you just completely go, it's not my choice?
Right.
Or as the driver to go, it's still my responsibility as I'm in the car.
Yeah.
So does that mean there's a button to go kill myself or kill the three people?
Yeah,
these are interesting explorations, and more and more I think it's interesting, because what bringing back to what you've just said in terms of as people, you know, it's for me the key is awareness. The key is, you know, it's being human. What does it mean to be human? Like, why are we competing against robots in robotic things?
Yes,
you know, there's so they're like, on one side, you know, this the development of machine learning and AI means more and more mechanical, or like things that are super methodical that we humans don't need to do could be automated.
Yeah.
And then hopefully with that in mind, we can be more human. And what does being human mean?
So freeing us up to be human.
Yeah.
Right. And frail, or frailties and everything that is being human, or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. It's interesting. We've already said we're sat in a big car park in Wicks, which is a DIY centre, isn't it? And people, we're watching people, and they're all doing things, creative things. I'm literally watching people.
Mm-hmm.
A number of these things that could be automated, you know, prefabricated houses or something, rather than just doing one, you know, just any number of things. Are we de-skilling people, or do we give them skills that they can work with this technology? If that's, you know, we mentioned right at the beginning about cobots.
Yeah.
So the people are not intimidated, or they're not feeling they're being replaced, or, you know, or they're, you know, how does this?
Well, I don't know. What's coming up for me is we've been here before with this.
Have we?
with the steam, the development of the steam engine. And the Industrial Revolution, you know, before that happened, there's a fear of what's going to happen.
Right.
You know, we're going to be out of work.
Yeah. So it just created a new world.
Yeah, a new world. Yeah. But also on there was the, what's his name, Yuval is the guy that wrote Sapiens, book Sapiens. He was saying, you know, the not now, but in the near future, however many years that is. You know, when AI, it's functional AI. At the moment, we're still at machine learning. That will create what he calls the useless class. This is in his words, the idea of the useless class. The jobs that are, for example, the Tesco's and the checkouts and the really easy, simple, somebody at the ticket desk and the car park.
Could be much more efficient.
Could be much more efficient, but the, and then there's a class of people that go, what do I do?
Yeah.
Like, what's my purpose?
Yeah.
What can I do in life? So it's interesting what you said. You said, we don't know. So as I guess, as government, people in power, I'm intrigued to see.
So
what
you're open-minded as to what that what might come about. Yeah, it's funny. Today we were talking. I was at a networking event earlier this morning, and the purpose of these network events, I was questioning.
Mm.
You know, as to whether you meet people, as is a social exercise. You know, real life and all these sort of things, and inevitably politics came up, and it was probably, there was 10 of us there maybe, and 10 different views.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's not polarized, it's not tribal.
Mm.
Or it is tribal, you know, who knows what, and people were quite passionate, but they were willing to listen to each other rather than fighting each other. But it is interesting, yeah. I don't know. I don't personally, of course, I don't know the answer. But one of the things I would like to think is that we drive it rather than thinking that our politicians have the answers.
Yeah.
Now, that's interesting. That could be anarchic.
No, I agree with you.
Or it could be, it will be much more creative and you know, a new world. This is getting deep, isn't it?
Yeah. But like for me, I don't resonate with politics at all in a way, in terms of, I'll just clarify, I like people have the choices of politicians and which party they want to support. Me personally, my belief is like, what can I do with my own two hands? What can I do with the people around me to make the world better?
Right.
The world around me, though, that's community. And that's my power. Me trusting a bunch of people that's been chosen by a bunch of other people to represent ideologies.
Right. Could I extrapolate that and say you don't trust them?
No.
You don't trust other people. You trust in your own influence. And which...
This is just my perspective.
Absolutely. So this is... I mean, in one individual's sphere of influence is relatively small.
Mm.
I mean, there are, history dictates that people's influence has grown and they bring in, you know, tribes and so on. But it's interesting that, you know, as an individual, as a young individual even, which is, you know, that perspective has changed.
Mm.
But yeah, I'm intrigued.
it's not, and then for me, it's about collaborating with people.
Yeah,
and collaborating with people that might have different views, might have different beliefs, might have different values, with a common purpose. So this is how we make the world a better place. Like, there's left wing and right wing. Where's the bird? Like, why are we just choosing wings?
Oh, I see.
Why are we not bringing people together?
Yeah, that's a nice one. I like that. Yeah. Yes, there's something in the middle, is there?
Yeah,
all the wings need joining together.
Yeah.
And they'll fly if we all collaborate. Great.
And
this
is where we bring people that are money driven and socially driven, for example. But where are the crossovers? There'll be values, there'll be beliefs, there'll be purpose, there'll be things that both believe that's important to both people. And you go, okay, cool. That's looking forward. That's the direction. Are you in? Are you in? Cool. Let's play. Yeah. Let's see what we can do.
Right. We're setting up a whole sort of culture around the environment and the world, the big way, what we can do. I think the idea is the global issues, and you know, we're talking about, but it is everybody individual has their own little aspect of it, you know, or thought or process. And I'm laughing here because you can't see that. What are they? Is that there's a guy sat next to us in a van with his foot on the accelerator to keep warm. You know, it's stationary. And you think, oh, you know, it's everybody else is sat here breathing in diesel fumes and things, you know. But he thinks it's quite fun to, you know. You do. You've got to cater for everybody.
Yeah.
That would explain the noise in the background. I think it might just come through that noise. Anyway, Do you know how long?
I don't know.
This is crazy. So I do this every time, and I think it's quite good because I think it just proves a point in many ways, not into sort of point scoring, but the idea that, you know, people just enjoy having conversations, mm-hmm. and the podcast has been doing that. But what I would love to do is follow this up, mm-hmm. you know, in, you know, a couple of months or something, you know, after we've done, you know, done our own things and whatever, come back. But it's been great. Yeah. Really enjoyed that, and I learned some things as well. Well, of course we do. So, Anger, thanks very much for today.
Thank you so much, Martin.
Great.